Glory to God. Praise the Lord. You may have your seats if you can. Just want to let you know some things that are coming up. Of course, we're going to be having our special revival service on October 10th and 11th. And then we're going to have Bruce Allen on that Sunday morning. So God will give you strength to make it through. And this will be a special time. And I believe God is going to do some things. I talked to someone yesterday. There's a group of 8 to 10 people from the YWAM base. And the thing that stood out to me is this. Their leaders were talking, and they said, while they were praying, I want to go with John chapter 15. And I'm going to touch on something else as well, along with that. But this is where we're going to start, in John chapter 15. And we've been talking about faith works by love. And, you know, when you love God, you can receive from Him. Amen? And I tell you what, he's so much in love with you, and he's so much in love with we don't even comprehend how much he loves you. I mean, really, he loves us so much. So in John chapter 15, Jesus begins here by saying, he said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." He said, "Every branch in me," I want you to notice that phrase, "in me." You know, we have to make a decision on where we position ourselves, and our position where we need to be is in Christ. You know, if you have a flower pot and you plant a flower within that pot, it's not going to grow in another place, is it? It's going to grow where it's planted. So, every branch in me, you know, there are some branches that aren't in him. Did you know that? You know, there's all kinds of false religions in this world. There's all kinds of false teachers and false prophets. Even Jesus said there's going to be false teachers and false prophets that are going to come in among you. So, in him, being in Christ is important. He said, "Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit." You know, God wants us always to be productive for him, right? And the only way we're going to be that is if we're in him. And he said, now, verse 3, he said, "You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me." There's that phrase again. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. You know, even Jesus said himself, he said, "I can do nothing of myself." Now, if Jesus can't do anything of himself, what makes us think that we'll do something of ourselves? But in Christ, you can do how many things? All things, because it's him who strengthens you. So, what does it mean to be in Christ? It means to have a relationship. It means to have fellowship. It means to do things together, you know. It means to listen and to communicate. It encompasses everything, being in Christ and him in you. And that's really, God wants us to be one in Christ. He prayed. Jesus said, "I pray that we would be one as I and the Father are one." I'm the vine and you are the branches. So who are the branches? We are. Okay? And he's the vine. In other words, we grow out of him. Okay? And he said, he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, who decides who they're going to abide in? We do, all right? God gives us, do you believe God trusted mankind with his own free will? He has empowered us to make choices. Deuteronomy 28:19, he says, I've set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. He said, I would that you choose life. All right? Joshua, towards the end of his life, he told his family, he said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. He made a choice and a declaration. And you can choose to abide in Christ, or you can choose not to. But if you choose not to, you're not going to be as fruitful as you could have been. So he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, this is verse 6, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Isn't that powerful? He said, now, if you abide in me, he's talking about having relationship, knowing him as Lord and Savior. If you abide in me, you choose to position yourself in Christ Jesus, and you allow him to be Lord of your life. That's really what it means to confess him as Lord. It means you yield now your life to him. Okay? Then he said that, and my words abide in you. How do you know if the word's abiding in you? That's right. You can find the scripture. You practice it. The words abiding in you are the words that we do. You know, our obedience to a command, our willingness to allow God to lead and guide us. You know, oftentimes the Holy Ghost, he can move in a situation or a service or anywhere, and if we're in tune with him, you know, then we can move right along with him. But we have to be in tune with him. And so his word's abiding in us. And that's really where we demonstrate our love for him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep what? My commands. Okay? And we know that the only place to keep his commands is where? In our heart. The psalmist said, I have hid your words in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now that's powerful. When these two things take place, you abide in him and his words abide in you, you can ask what you will. And what's going to happen to your request? You're going to get whatever you ask for. How many want to have whatever they ask for? Okay? Now, how many want to meet those conditions? He didn't say you can ask whatever you will and just do whatever you want to do. He gave us some qualifications, which is really, it shows our love. Qualification number one, abide in him. Qualification number two, his words have to abide in us. Now, when you're abiding in him and his words are abiding in you, you have met the conditions for an explosive force to be released. You can ask what you will. And he didn't say it might be done. He didn't say, I hope it'll be done. He made a definite statement, it shall be done. Can you say amen? So that tells me that, you know, if we just pray the word, we're going to be okay. All right, let's go down to verse 9. Okay? He said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. How does God love us? Does God place any conditions on his love? You know, God never says, I like this type, but I don't like this type. Amen? So Jesus now, he says, I love you with the way that the Father loves you. But now he tells us here, he said, continue in my love. Why would you have to tell someone to continue in something? You could let it go by the wayside, you know? If you don't continue in something, you'll never reach that destination. If I stop halfway, then I didn't get to where I needed to be. How long shall we continue in his love? Forever. Until we graduate. Amen? So we cannot let up continuing in the love of God. The moment we don't continue in his love is the moment our faith is weakened. The moment we get away from the word. See, the moment we get away from the word, we stop allowing the word to abide in us. The word never changed, but where am I now in regards to the word? The word's over here and I'm here. Who moved? The word didn't move. Somewhere along the line, I stopped continuing in the word. Verse 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Was Jesus ever tempted to not follow his Father's commands? You remember the time when he was in the garden and he was about, his time was coming to be turned over, and he was praying. And he told his closest disciples, he said, come and pray with me for an hour. And while he was praying, they fell asleep. And while he was praying, he made this statement. He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass. He was tempted. Not only was he going to be crucified, but he was going to be, for the first time in his life, separated from the Father. He had never been separated from the Father. He was with the Father in creation. But there he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there was such stress, such turmoil, that one gospel says that his sweat turned to drops of blood. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. But he made a determination in his heart. He said, not my will, but yours be done. Now, I have to say something about that. The only time you should pray, if it be God's will, is when you're dedicating, consecrating, and committing yourself to what he wants you to do. Because if we have the word of God on a matter, you should never pray for healing, Father, if it be your will. Why? Because we have plenty of scriptures that talk about what God's will is regarding healing. You should never pray, Father, if it be your will, if you want me to increase, because we know that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. We know that he said, if you have a need, ask. He says, I already know what you need, but I want you to ask, because that demonstrates faith. Anytime that you have a scripture on a matter, you shouldn't pray if it be your will, because this is God's will. But yes, Jesus was tempted not to continue, because in that moment it would have been hard. Anybody have your sweat turn into blood? I haven't. You know, I haven't even suffered a part of what Jesus went through. But just in everyday life, the pressures of life, they might try to come in and say, quit, give up, just throw in the towel. But no, you make your mind up. You make your mind up long before the pressure comes that you're going to continue. All right? You're going to abide. And then let's go down to verse 12. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. How should we love one another? As I have loved you. Those five words. He didn't say that love is a feeling, did he? He said love as he loves. So, in other words, what does it mean to walk in love? You choose to do what the word says in spite of what you feel. That means when you have a problem with someone and you see that someone, smile. You may not feel like smiling. You may not want to smile. And something on the inside of you says, I don't know why I should be smiling, but you smile. Why? Because you're choosing to walk in love in spite of what you feel, because that's what the word says. See, when you walk by faith, you must be governed by the word. Your thoughts, your words, and your actions must be governed by the word. That's what it really means to walk by faith and not by sight. Sight is a sense. Okay? You can't go by what you feel. Why? Because feelings change. Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you feel good when you wake up. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're grumpy. Sometimes you're happy. And sometimes you're one of all the other seven dwarfs. So what's my point? You can't go. Love is not a feeling. I wish it were. I wish I could have an ooey-gooey feeling every time. But no, you have to do it in spite of your feelings. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. His flesh didn't feel like having that thorns in his head and being whipped on his back and have the spear stuck in his side and have nails driven through his hands and feet and his beard pulled out. That wasn't a feeling. But he did it because he loved. He made a choice that he was going to do what the Father said in spite of what he felt. And that's what it means. I mean, you got to make love something that you got to hang out in love. You got to dwell in love. You got to reside in love. You got to remain in love. That's what it means to abide. And I don't care what you feel like. Feelings come by hearing the word. No. Faith comes by hearing the word. Will you feel something sometimes when faith comes? Yes, maybe, maybe not. Sometimes when you come up for prayer, you might not feel a thing. Does that mean that the word isn't true because you don't feel something? No. The word is true irregardless of what we feel. So when you come up for prayer, this is just a little side note. When you get prayed for over anything, just believe. Believe that God wants you to have what you're asking for. Believe that He wants to give it to you, and just receive. Because you know what the greatest quality of love is? Love gives. What did God give to this world? His only begotten Son. What? He gave it to the world. The world had turned their back on Him. When He arrived on the scene, the world didn't even recognize Him. But yet He gave. And He didn't, He gave in spite of what was happening. So our abiding in love has something to do with our fruitfulness, has something to do with our faith. It has something to do with our effectiveness. You know, it even has something to do with our joy. Because verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." You know, when His joy is in you, your joy is going to be full. Did you know that? Notice He didn't say that when things are going to go right in life, your joy is going to be full, did He? What makes our joy full? His joy in us. Right? That scripture, look at verse 11. Let's read it again. This is right in the context of us abiding in His love. These things, say these things. What things is He referring to? All the things He was just talking about. Have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you? So His joy comes from the Word. His joy comes from what He's spoken. And when His joy is in us, then our joy can be full. But if His joy is not in us, then your joy is going to run out. Amen? Look at verse 17. He said, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Loving one another is not an option. It's a command. And verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before you." So if the world hates you, you're in good company. That means you're doing something right. When the world hates you, look at what the world does to righteous people. It persecutes them. It brings them through the mud. It tries to destroy them. Tried to destroy Jesus when He was a baby. Tried to destroy Jesus several times in His ministry. People would try to kill Him. They would try to criticize Him. They called Him a wine bibber. They said that He cast out devils by the prince of devils. They always criticized Him because He healed on the Sabbath. Can you imagine criticizing someone because they healed someone on a Sabbath? But that's what the world does. The world hates the things of God. Did you know that the world is enmity with God? Did you know that? That's why the Bible says, "Love not the things that are in the world." It hated Jesus. Verse 19. "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of this world," say, "I'm not of this world." Woo! You're just here passing through. And while you're here, God wants to let His love shine through you. He wants you to let His love flow so that while you're here, you can affect everybody around you. I'm telling you, the love of God can change things. It's powerful. All right. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And look at verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Did you know that you were crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live. Isn't that amazing? You've been crucified, but yet you live. Yet not I, but Christ lives where? In me. That's why when someone gets born again, they're now called Christian. You know what that word means to be a Christian? They were first called Christians in Antioch. It means to be Christ-like. What is Christ? He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah. He represents the anointing. So you have the anointing. You have the anointed one living on the inside of you because you were crucified with Christ. Thank God. The old man is dead, but every once in a while he wants to raise his ugly head, doesn't he? I remember reading this quote. It was a tough fight, but the old man had to die. Notice, it's Christ that lives in you, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by what? Oh, it didn't say I live by feeling. I live by my senses, right? I live by my intellect, right? What does it say again? Okay, now the life that we're to live now is by faith in, or by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God gave you the most precious gift that he had, his only Son. And through the Holy Spirit, he lives in you. He comes in, and he changes you from the inside out. And the more you get into the Word, the easier it becomes to operate in this life, because it's a new life. How many know when you get a new appliance, you know, it might have some new features that you never had on the old one. So you got to learn how to operate it, right? You got to read some instructions. You know, you got to learn how like when you get a new car, it has new things. The basics of driving are the same, but it has new bells and whistles. I remember one guy bought a car, and he was frustrated. He had this car for a year, and he didn't have a cup holder. And all of a sudden, one day, he happened to hit a button, and out popped a cup holder. He said, it was there all the time. I just didn't know it existed. Because if we don't know it, we can't operate in it. Okay, but we are now to live by the faith of the Son of God. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And let's look at verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said unto his disciples, say, he's talking to me. He said, if any man, that applies for women also, will come after me. Notice, he didn't say, I'm going to force him to come after me. He said, will. You got to be willing. Okay? Let him deny who? Okay. Sometimes, as Christians, we don't want to talk about the things we have to deny. Well, you deny yourself now and God will pay you later. Or you can give to yourself now and it'll cost you later. Which one would you rather have? Do you want to get paid later or do you want it to cost you later? Because when you get at the cost, you might not be willing to pay the price. Who's talking here? Huh? Jesus. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What's your cross? It's whatever God has called you to. Now, he has called us. In some things, we all have a same call. We're called to follow after Christ. We're called to put God first. But then, he'll have a specific assignment for you to do. That's your cross, your calling. Whatever God created you to do, that's your cross. Everybody has a calling. Some might be called to preach. Some might be called to serve. Some might be called to give. Some might be called to administrate. Some might be called to help. Some might be called to counsel. Some might be called to be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever. Some might be called to teach. It comes, your cross comes from following him. You got to go after him. You got to pursue him. Why? He's already pursued you. He's already stepped out of heaven. He already came to earth. He already gave his life. And he said, it's finished. His job is done now. He can sit on the throne of God and he can make intercession for us. Now it's up to us to take what he has provided us with and to put it into practice. Notice, this is still talking about loving God. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life, you're going to lose it. See, if you try to save your life, if you try to keep your life the way it was before you met Christ, you're going to end up losing it. Because really, anything that we put before Christ is in danger of being lost. It can be a person, it can be a thing, it can be a career, whatever. If there is anything that is before Christ on our priority list, we are in danger of losing that thing. I'll give you an example. King Saul was called to be king of Israel, right? God's anointing came on him, and he was given an assignment to kill the Amalekites. Did he fulfill that assignment? No. What happened to the kingdom in regards to Saul? It was taken. The kingdom was literally ripped away from him. He was walking away from Samuel, or Samuel was walking away from him, and he tried to grab Samuel, and some of his garment ripped. And Samuel said, "Just like that garment ripped, God's ripping the kingdom from you." Who became king in Saul's place? David. Somewhere along the line, Saul did not continue with the Lord. He thought he could do his own thing and be okay. But he found out that that wasn't the case, was it? He did not deny himself. He became his own Lord. Notice verse 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you know how important a soul is to God? It's worth more than the whole world. You're worth more than the whole world. You realize that to God? Go with me to Mark chapter 11. I want to shift gears for just a moment. Mark chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse 22. Gabriel. And Jesus was talking to his disciples. He answered them and said, have faith in God. Where is our faith supposed to be? Our faith is not to be in the church. As good as the church might be, it's not your source of faith. Our faith should not be in people. Where should our faith be? Because everything in this life can be shaken, but God cannot. Everything in this life can change, but God cannot. God is the absolute truth. He will not change. He cannot change. That's why your faith must be in God. Jesus is saying this, right? Now, to have strong faith, you got to have strong love, right? Because faith works by love. Verse 23, he said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, are there any whosoever's here? Yeah, we all are. Everybody's a whosoever. I'm a what? You're a whosoever. Just like me. Whosoever shall say, say the word shall say. Unto this mountain, what's a mountain? Problem, an obstacle, a hindrance, anything that's in your way from getting to point A to point B. Okay? What are you supposed to do to the mountain? You're supposed to speak. You're supposed to say. Okay? He didn't say pray about the mountain. Oh, Lord, give me wisdom about this mountain. Lord, what shall I do about this mountain? He told us what to do. Say. You got to speak to the mountain. Say, speak to the mountain. Speak to the problem. Did David speak to Goliath? Certainly did. Did Joshua speak to Jericho on the seventh time of the seventh day when they finished their seventh trip around that city? What did they do? They shouted. What happened to the walls? It crumbled. Shouting is a form of saying, isn't it? Okay. What do you say to the mountain? Lord, please move that mountain? Huh? What do you say to the mountain? Be removed. You don't ask the Lord to move it. You say to it that you need to move. Okay? Be removed, be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. How are you going to know? What's going to help you not to doubt in your heart? To have the word in your heart. When you have the word in your heart, you're not going to doubt. Put the word in, and the doubt comes out. Okay? So, while you're saying, you cannot doubt what you're saying. All right? Say, cannot doubt. Okay. But instead of doubting, here's what you're going to do. You're going to believe that those things which you what? Say shall come to pass. So, when you encounter a problem in life, what are you supposed to do? Speak to it. You're supposed to tell it to be removed. Did Jesus speak to inanimate objects? He spoke to the fig tree, right? He spoke to the storm and the seas, right? He spoke to a fever. Remember when he laid his hands on Peter's mother-in-law? He rebuked the fever, and what happened? The fever left her. He spoke to the man with the withered hand. He said, stretch forth your hand. Okay. So you've got to believe that what you're saying shall come to pass, and you shall have whatsoever you says. And it goes back with abiding in him and his words abiding in you. Because it says the same thing. When you abide in him and his words abide in you, you can ask whatever you will and it shall be done. Okay. He's not done yet. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire. How many have some desires? Okay. Amen. So he's speaking to the people who have a desire. When you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. According to that phrase, when do you have what you're asking for? When do you have your desire when you ask? Huh? Not when you pray. When you believe what? You receive. You believe, you receive. Ed, ask me to use my Bible.
Can I use your Bible?
Sure. Now, who has the Bible? When did he have it? The moment he asked for it. Now, when you need something from God, you have a desire. You must believe that you receive. In other words, you must see yourself with what you desire. Whether it be healing, whether it be a need, whether it be whatever. You've got to see yourself as having it now. Believe, you receive. Believe, you receive. The receiving comes now, but the having comes soon. Because notice it says, you believe, you receive, and you shall have. When will you see it and feel it? Soon. But you got to believe you have it now. Is that true? Thank you. Now, so when you find something in the Word of God, let's just take joy for example. Maybe you've been feeling kind of depressed and down, and you know the Bible says in Nehemiah, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. He talks about putting laughter in your mouth in Psalm 126. We read it in John 15. He said, my joy will remain in you that your joy might be full. Okay, so if you're depressed, you have a desire to get out of that depression. So you ask the Lord, say, Father, give me some of your joy. Now you've got to believe that you receive joy before you actually have it. Because that's what faith is all about. Right? And it's in the believing that you receive it that the full manifestation of it is going to happen. But you... Oh, it could be. Yeah. Because, you know, oftentimes Jesus would cast out a devil of a person who couldn't speak or hear, and he was cured of his inability to speak and hear because it was a demon. That's why you got to be led by the Holy Ghost, because he'll lead you to exactly on how to do that. So in regards to this revival, I want to see people's lives transformed. What does that mean? It means that they come into a place and God moves, his word goes forth, and things happen. Now for us, what we have to do is we just have to hook up with what God is doing in that moment. What if God does something you've never seen before? Just be open. Because I guarantee you, God will never do anything apart from his word. All right? His word is the foundation by which he operates. So, I just wanted to encourage you, along with love, I wanted to encourage you to let's together believe we receive deliverance, healing, salvation, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, whatever. Let's believe we receive it. So let's just take a moment. Let's just pray together, all right? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you right now. And Father, we pray regarding this revival. Father, we have a desire to see people saved, healed, delivered, touched by the power of God. And so, Father, we just give you thanks and praise. We believe we receive it right now, Father. We believe we receive the power of God in operation in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe that the Word of God will be preached and that the Holy Spirit will confirm your Word. And Father, I thank you that you're going to fill this place with people, Father, who have needs, who have desires, and you're going to meet them, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray that everything will flow together smoothly. I pray that you would protect everyone that travels for this meeting. I pray, Father, that everybody will find their place to do what they can do for this meeting to make it a great success for your honor and for your glory. And I thank you, Father, that our region will be forever impacted. Our region. And we just pray over this, Father. Oh, God, you've been so good and gracious to us. Father, I just thank you right now that you'll provide every need for that revival. Oh, Father, I thank you, Lord, that we'll lack no good thing. And we just give you thanks and praise for that, Father. We just believe a full provision. We believe, Father, that our budget will be met and more, Father. Oh, we just thank you. You're so good and gracious. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, because you are in a love relationship with someone who loves you unconditionally, he wants you to have good things. God wants you to prosper. And he has ways of supernaturally increasing you that we don't even know about. I mean, when Moses needed water, God told him to strike a rock. Who would have even thought to pray for that? God told him what to do and he did it. And what happened? Water came out. What happened when the Israelites were hungry in the wilderness? God rained down manna from heaven. Do you realize that in 40 years, their clothes never wore out in the wilderness? Do you realize that? That's supernatural. Do you realize that there wasn't a restaurant within 50 miles, but yet they never missed a meal? Now, if God did that in the wilderness, how much more will he do it in the promised land? So I want to raise your level of expectation. You know that your expectation is God's invitation? Amen? So let's raise our expectancy level. We serve a God who loves us. We serve the creator of the universe, and he loves you. He doesn't want anything bad for you. God does not produce bad things. I don't care what the insurance company says. The storm knocked my tree down. That was an act of God. That wasn't an act of God. If there's destruction involved, it's not God. Well, what about God's judgment? That's when people take themselves out of God's umbrella of protection by disobedience and sin. But it's not God that caused it, but their sin that caused the judgment. Amen? But we serve a God who loves us. And we can love him. And because we can love him, we can walk by faith. And our love will make our faith work. Our faith works by love. So if we're missing it in the faith area, let's do a little checkup on our love. Amen? Well, we want to pray for Miss Marianne right now. I want you to just stretch forth your hands to her. We're going to believe for healing. You know, James says that, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the prayer of faith, the Bible says, shall save the sick. And it'll even raise them up. So how many believe that God's power is going to be going into her body and it's going to correct whatever was wrong? Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, we serve a healing God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just anoint her in Jesus' name, Father. Oh, hallelujah. We just thank you right now, Father, for releasing your power in her body. Father, make her whole right now. Lord, I rebuke any infirmity and sickness and disease, Father. Lord, any thing that's in her body that doesn't belong there, I curse it right now, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I release healing. I say be whole and be healed right now in Jesus' name. Now, Marianne, I want you to say this. Say, Father, I believe I receive. I'm healed. Because healing is your will. By your stripes, I'm healed. You sent me your word and healed me. And everywhere Jesus went, he healed people. So he's my healer today. And I am the healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, right now, Father. Just correct that which is wrong, Father. Strengthen and restore health unto her, Father. 100%, 100% in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else need prayer before we go? You need prayer. Let's pray for Miss Sylvia. Hallelujah. Father, right now, I just thank you, Lord, that the spirit of wisdom just come on her. Lord, I thank you that she is wise. Oh, Father, she builds her house on wisdom in the name of Jesus. Wisdom is the principal thing. And with all thy getting, get understanding. I just give you thanks and praise, Father, for giving her wisdom. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Your wisdom is better than rubies. It's more profitable than fine gold. And I just thank you, Father, that wisdom, your wisdom is hers right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody else? What you need prayer for, Helen? Helen?